I'm going to talk a little bit tonight about wisdom, man's wisdom and God's wisdom, but mostly God's wisdom, and a little bit at the end about man's wisdom. So as far as wisdom goes, you know, everybody needs it, right? You can't do much without it. So let's look at some of the relevant factors of wisdom. And, you know, a lot of this is probably going to be, this isn't new to most of you probably, but just in way of reminder, we'll go through this. So to begin with, a working definition of wisdom is applied knowledge. So for wisdom to work, you have to have some knowledge base. And that's the first thing. And if you don't know anything, there's simply nothing for wisdom to work with. So we're going to look at some more things about that. And we'll just pray for a sec. Lord, we ask that you would bless these words, Lord, that your wisdom would be apparent in your word, and the difference between man's wisdom and God's wisdom, your wisdom. Amen. So most of this is going to be in Proverbs chapter 8, so if you want to turn there. And the first thing we're going to kind of look at is just how essential it is to have wisdom. And perhaps the greatest, this is chapter 8, the greatest chapter in the Bible regarding wisdom. It was written by King Solomon, who was wiser than all of his contemporaries, the kings of Egypt and all the soothsayers of the East. And he may have been very well the wisest man that ever lived, but anyway, so this chapter was written by him. And this occurred sometime in the 6th century, so this wisdom is old. This isn't something that, just popped up. This is, 2700 years old, and we can take advantage of it. So we'll get to Proverbs chapter 8 here. So this chapter presents a personification of wisdom, which is simply wisdom being explained using human characteristics. And you'll see this as we go along. So again, we'll be looking at relevant factors regarding wisdom. And we're going to start with verses 1 and verses 4. So if you want to turn there. Says, doth not, and I'm reading from the King James here, doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? And then down in verse 4, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. So in these passages, wisdom is there. It's crying out to us. It wants to be found and appropriated by us, so to speak. Wisdom's calling out and saying, hey, this is the best way to operate in life. Come and get me. And the next thing, we'll look at just how important it is to get wisdom. And we'll go to verses 10 and 11 for that. You want to just skip down to verse 10. It says, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not compared to it. So it's evident here that wisdom is more important to have than money and the things that that money can buy. Now everyone needs money, obviously, but we need wisdom more than money, much more. And you probably heard of people who inherit large amounts of money and waste it, or just just rich people have more than they need, and they're ruined by it. And that happens every day. And they're probably just a bit short on wisdom. That happens. So next, another very important aspect of wisdom, and that's, we're talking about true wisdom here, or that which comes from God, is that there's no wickedness or fraud involved. And let's skip over to verses 7 and 8, where it says, My mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. And, you know, of course, this is wisdom speaking. You know, this is the personification here. So wisdom says there's an abomination to my lips. It's perverseness and crookedness. And true wisdom is free of these things. It's just not there. So next, what happens once we have acquired wisdom? What's the outcome? And we'll go to verses 19, 20, and 21 for that. It says, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Now, this is just a very interesting passage to me, these three verses. And so at the end of wisdom, the outcome is that we actually have something better than money. And the fruit, so to speak, of wisdom surpasses money greatly. And that fruit is the benefits of making sound, right judgments in life. And that's what verse 20 was all about. And this is the most important thing. You know, in verse 21, I think that can be probably best viewed as, you know, also we can be wealthy or have some stuff, so to speak, kind of as a byproduct, you know, as God gives it in whatever amounts are appropriate for us at any given time. So just another aspect of wisdom here. But the thing that we really must remember that it's just absolutely essential in life to have wisdom before and independent of money. The final benefit or outcome of obtaining wisdom is found in verse 35. I just want to skip down to that. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. So what could be better than finding favor with the Lord? I mean, that benefit will take you further than any other benefit. So at this point, you might be wondering, well, how do I get this wisdom? It has to come from somewhere, and who better to get it from but God who possesses it? And I know you already know this, but let's go to verses 22 to 27 again of the same chapter 8. And I'll just read it here. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. So the Lord possessed me, meaning wisdom, in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. So we find here in this passage is pretty, it's clear that, you know, wisdom existed with God from before the beginning. And he's a storehouse of wisdom and knowledge, and he has enough for everybody. You know, just it's basically just come and get it. And the easiest way to get this wisdom, practically speaking, is to read and or listen to the Word of God. And if you want to go down to verse 33 here, it simply says, you know, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. So that's pretty clear. But not only must we be instructed, but it's imperative that that it be done daily. And in verse 34, we see that where it says, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates while at the posts of my doors. So basically, you know, wisdom's watching daily here, and we have to get it daily. And the earlier in the day, the better. If you want a quick look at verse 17, I know we're skipping around a lot here, but it says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. So just some practical tips there. So let's switch gears here a little bit from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And we'll get a bit more definition of wisdom and more specifically the difference between man's wisdom and God's wisdom. And if you want to go to James chapter 17, this is probably a scripture most of you are aware of. So I'll just read that. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So there's eight characteristics mentioned here, and they're pretty much self-explanatory. So just remember that someone's trying to tell you something that's supposed to be important or good for your life or good for you. Apply these, you know, these factors, these principles, and you know, to see if you're really being informed from above or not. Interestingly, the last two elements of wisdom from above that we just mentioned are without hypocrisy and without partiality, and are reminiscent of what we just read in Proverbs 8:8, where it says wisdom is free of perverseness and crookedness. So they kind of complement each other there. So next, let's contrast the wisdom from above with the wisdom from below in verse 15 of this same chapter here. So we'll just quick go up here. So I'll just read that. Actually, we'll read a little bit of a passage here. Okay, let me skip down here to verse 14. It says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. So just make sure you distance yourself from those with devilish wisdom. Sometimes it's obvious, sometimes it's not so obvious, but, you know. So to end with, let's check out a major distinction between man's wisdom and God's wisdom. And if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians for that, chapter 3. And we'll read verses 18 and 19. So verse 18 says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. So we see here there's a vast, vast difference between the wisdom of man, or the wisdom that man can come up with, and what God has available. And, you know, man's wisdom here is comparatively foolishness. I mean, wow. And the best example of this clear limitation of man's wisdom is his inability to find God based solely on his own wisdom. And if you just skip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 through 24, we'll read that. And it says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And here's the reason. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So, you know, man's not going to find God on his own, but only through the preaching of Christ. And sorry for those who think there's another way, but there isn't. So, you know, we started in Proverbs chapter 8 in the Old Testament with God who possessed true wisdom from eternity past, and we end up in the New Testament with Christ, the wisdom of God. So this wisdom is no longer a personification, so to speak, but now present in the person of Christ. All the more reason to listen to him. So just a few thoughts, and we'll maybe Pastor Merle will have some more commentary on it. So thanks for your attention.